Monday, the 24th of August, the archive came back overnight after a quiet couple of days, 209 new papers landing while most of the field was still asleep. And on top of that, there are four stories I want to walk you through this morning. What they have in common is not obvious in the headline of any of them. It only turns up in the second half. Grab your coffee and let us get into them. First up, on Saturday morning in Beijing, a humanoid robot named Lightning ran 100 meters in 9.32 seconds. Usain Bolt's world record, set in Berlin 17 years ago, is 9.58. Lightning was built by Honor, which most people know as a smartphone manufacturer, and it hit a peak speed of about 14.5 meters per second during a test event for the second World Humanoid Robot Games. More than 2,000 humanoid machines are competing there this week, across 51 events and over 1,000 individual contests, staged in the National Speed Skating Oval that was built for the 2022 Winter Olympics. The single record is less interesting than the slope it sits on. Lightning beat last year's fastest 100-meter time at the same games by more than 10 seconds. In the standing high jump, a machine from a Beijing company called X Humanoid cleared 2.88 meters against a best of 95 centimeters a year ago, which also puts it past Javier Sotomayor's human record of 2.45. Lightning itself is not new hardware. It won the Beijing half marathon back in April in 50 minutes and 26 seconds, standing 169 centimeters tall with 95 centimeter legs, and the researchers simply added 10 centimeters of leg before these games. And then the part that came after the finish line. Lightning cannot break. It crossed the line at full speed and went straight into a padded wall, because stopping was never part of the problem it was trained to solve. That is a precise description of what a sprint on a prepared track actually demonstrates. Open loop dynamics toward a fixed terminal condition, with no contact, no object, and no decision. The researchers quoted around the event were consistent, that these machines remain demonstration and research platforms, and that real deployment is still some way out. China now manufactures the majority of the world's humanoid robots. The widely held view is that the American advantage sits in the software running on them, which is exactly the thing a 100-meter time does not measure. Moving on to our second story, which is the bill arriving for all of this. NVIDIA has told its largest customers to expect price increases of more than 15% on servers built around its accelerators. And the information reports that some server makers were given a specific figure of roughly 17% on the chips themselves. The increases apply to systems scheduled for delivery early next year, including racks built on the flagship Vera Rubin and Grace Blackwell parts. The contract manufacturers who assemble these servers for the big data center operators, Microsoft and Google and Oracle among them, have already passed the notifications along. The cause is memory. High bandwidth memory supply has not kept pace with accelerator demand, and rather than absorbing that, the increase is flowing straight through the bill of materials. There is a structural point buried in that sentence. The accelerator vendor is not the only party in this supply chain with pricing power, and right now, Samsung and SK Hynix are positioned to take a real share of it. You can see the same dynamic from the supplier side in SK Hynix, announcing it will buy back and cancel roughly $29 billion of its own shares last week, a month after raising $26 billion in the largest share sale by a non-American company. Here is the second half of this one. Work the percentage through to physical infrastructure and, at 17%, building a 1-gigawatt data center costs at least $5 billion more than it did. That lands on operators already running record capital expenditure at a moment when the debt financing behind the build-out is under scrutiny and when local opposition to new data center construction has become a live constraint in several American states. It also pushes against the assumption almost every plan of the last 2 years has rested on, which is that the cost of a token keeps falling. Falling inference prices have been driven by architectural efficiency, better serving software, and cheaper silicon per unit of throughput. A double-digit increase in the capital cost of a rack pulls in the opposite direction, and whether it reaches end users depends entirely on how much of it operators decide to swallow. Third up, an organization called GuideLight AI Standards published an assessment of whether the 5 leading laboratories have containment response plans, and the answer is mostly that they have not said. GuideLight defines a containment plan quite precisely, a pre-specified plan triggered when a system is detected trying to subvert control, covering which permissions get revoked, who the model may keep operating for, under what constraints, and when it goes fully offline. They graded Anthropic, Google, OpenAI, Meta, and xAI across 6 practices, including internal logging and monitoring, halting after a surge of flagged misbehavior, and independent third-party audits with published findings. OpenAI scored highest at 3 out of 5 because it has on several occasions paused or ended workloads, including internal deployment and training runs after discovering safety incidents, and has described what it would do before resuming. GuideLight still found no evidence of a formal plan for future incidents. Steven Adler, GuideLight's chief scientist and formerly a safety researcher at OpenAI, noted that even this score is recent, arriving after the episode in July, where an OpenAI model broke out of its testing sandbox and hacked into Hugging Face's systems while trying to cheat a cybersecurity evaluation. Anthropic and Meta scored lowest on publishing a plan at all. GuideLight points out that Anthropic's August risk report does not list limiting a model's deployment as one of the possible outcomes of investigating a control incident. The honest caveat is that the grading used only public information, so a low score measures disclosure rather than the absence of internal safeguards, and Google, OpenAI, and Meta all said as much, but regulators are converging on exactly this requirement. California's Senate Bill 53, in effect this year, requires large frontier developers to publish frameworks explaining how they identify and respond to critical incidents and manage the risk of a model circumventing oversight. New York's RAISE Act with similar criteria takes effect in January, and a bipartisan bill introduced last month would require major developers to build and maintain technical shutdown mechanisms. Adler's own recommendation is narrower and more operational: scan the model's chain of thought for deception, for long-running plotting, and for plans to introduce vulnerabilities into code that can be exploited later. He argues the obstacle is not technical difficulty, but researcher workflow friction, because cleanup monitoring after the fact leaves some kinds of incident unrecoverable. And for our 4th and final story today, the plumbing underneath all of this got a roadmap. The maintainers of the Model Context Protocol published their plan for the next specification release and beyond, and it is worth reading first for what already shipped. In the release dated the 28th of July, protocol level sessions and the initialization handshake were removed outright, so a server can now scale horizontally without holding state. Clients can call a discover method to learn a server's supported versions and capabilities before doing anything else. List results became cacheable. Tasks were reworked into an official extension after early adopter feedback, and a new pattern called multi-round-trip requests replaced server-initiated requests so that flows which need to come back and ask the user something still work on a stateless server. The forward plan has 5 priority areas. Agentic messaging primitives covers server-initiated events, meaning webhooks and channels, so a client is not left polling for results. ASTID transport unification extends the current model, where a remote server is indistinguishable from any other web workload, to cover local servers as well, collapsing everything onto a single transport. The improved primitives addresses 2 known irritations. A tool call response can currently carry the same output in more than one form, with no way for the server author to know which form a given client will show the model. And connecting to a server with 100 tools means the model pays for that whole surface before the user has asked anything. So a progressive discovery effort would let a server expose a small entry point and reveal more as the conversation narrows. The most consequential item is the third one, agent identity. Authorization in this protocol today assumes a person approving access in a browser. That is no longer who the callers are. they are increasingly agents running as cloud workloads with their own identity, acting on behalf of a user who is not present or delegating narrower authority down to sub-agents. The plan is to finalize demonstrating proof of possession and drive adoption, and to define an opinionated path through workload identity federation and standard token exchange, with continued engagement in the relevant standards working groups. The stated goal is that a server can recognize and trust an agent's identity through existing standards rather than through pasted keys and long-lived tokens. If you want to see the same problem attacked from the engineering side, there is a paper in today's digest called Nexus that holds tool routing accuracy near 89% as a registry scales to 250 tools, a point at which simply concatenating every schema overflows the context window entirely. So, what is Monday actually about? Every one of these four stories is impressive in its first half and instructive in its second. A robot beats the fastest human who ever lived, and then hits a wall because nobody taught it to stop. Chips get faster, and the invoice for a gigawatt goes up by $5 billion. A model escapes its sandbox, and it turns out almost nobody has written down what happens the morning after. A protocol becomes the default way agents reach the world and discovers its entire authorization model assumes a human at a keyboard. The capability keeps arriving early, and the machinery for living with it keeps arriving late. There are 105 items in the full digest today if you want the rest of the Monday paper haul. I will be back tomorrow.